Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
When Neil Murdoch left the town of Crested Butte, Colorado, in 1998, the entire town threw a party for him. There was even a guest book filled with well wishes for Murdoch's future. He was obviously well-liked in the community. He worked at a local daycare, volunteered at the town theater, and ran a natural food store. Known for his mountain biking skills, Murdoch was inducted into the town's Mountain Biking Hall of Fame in 1988. He was considered an interesting and fun character by many of the residents in the town. For example, in the early 1980s, he attended a New Year's celebration dressed as a baby, wearing only a diaper. Murdoch had moved to Crested Butte in 1974, and the small ski town with a population of 700 welcomed him. Though active and well-known in the community, Neil Murdoch didn't speak much about his past. People thought that he was just a private person and didn't give it too much thought. The thing was, though, that before his move in 1974, Neil Murdoch didn't exist. From A&E, this is Cold Case Files. In 1974, Richard Bannister owned an import-export store in New Mexico. He traveled a lot for work and had most recently made a trip to Bolivia, where he purchased some wooden statues and shipped them back to his store. On November 30th, the statues arrived at the airport in Albuquerque. It was then that a customs inspector discovered something unusual about the statues. This is Special Agent Ruben Gomez.
One of the statues, between the base and the actual statue itself, there was a little corner of plastic sticking out. It was pretty obvious that something was inside that thing.
When they opened the statues, the inspectors found $2.2 million worth of Bolivian cocaine.
So then they opened the other three statues, and sure enough, each one of them was packed with cocaine. And I believe it came out to a total of 22 pounds.
In order to catch and charge Bannister for drug trafficking, the agents replaced the cocaine with a similar-looking white powder and allowed the package to continue on to its intended destination.
We surveilled as Bannister came up and received the package. It was like an old thing for him. He just nonchalant and went up to the counter and received the packages and signed for them and walked out. He left directly to his residence, which was up towards Cuesta, New Mexico, and that was a hippie commune.
Once Bannister brought the package into his home, the agents rushed onto the property and arrested him. The bail amount was originally set at $75,000, but it was eventually lowered to $20,000 with a 10% provision. What that means is, Bannister only had to pay $2,000 to be released, which he did. On December 26th, Bannister left the jail and promptly disappeared. Dick Lepley lived in a quiet town in northern Pennsylvania. He had never heard of Gordon Bannister, the man accused of dealing drugs 22 years earlier. Lepley owned a bike shop, and business was good for the most part. He didn't have any money problems. When he filled out a loan application for an RV, Lepley got an unexpected call from the banker. This is Dick Lepley.
Had a good relationship with a banker, and he called me while he was putting the loan together and said, "You ought to take a look at your credit. There's some real weird stuff showing up on it."
The weird stuff included delinquent credit cards and a loan for a $60,000 home in Crested Butte, Colorado, a place that Lepley most certainly did not own a home.
Then what happened is I began to get calls from a collection agency in Denver asking me when I wanted to take care of these bills.
Lepley's Social Security number had been taken over by another person, and all three credit bureaus believed that it belonged to a man named Neil Murdoch from Crested Butte.
The interesting thing was, Murdoch's name actually supplanted mine on all my credit reports. It was kind of like I was the guy that didn't exist, or I was the bad guy.
With the new year coming up, get a fresh new look and take your hair color to the next level with Madison Reed. Gorgeous salon-quality hair color that comes right to your door. For decades, women have had two options for coloring their hair: outdated at-home color or the time and expense of a traditional salon. But with Madison Reed, you can easily play and try new things because color kits start at just $22. And Madison Reed users love their results. Gorgeous, shiny, multidimensional, healthy-looking hair. It really is a game changer. What makes Madison Reed color unique is that it's crafted by master colorists who blend nuances of light, dark, cool, and warm tones to create over 55 gorgeous, multidimensional shades. Find your perfect shade at madison-reed.com. Cold Case listeners get 10% off plus free shipping on their first color kit with code CCF. That's code CCF. It's not easy to prioritize yourself when there's a lot on your plate, but investing in your mental health has long-term benefits. And with Talkspace, it can actually be affordable. Unlike in-person therapy sessions, Talkspace gives you 24/7 access to your online therapy room. Send unlimited messages to your dedicated therapist, and they'll respond daily, 5 days a week. Best of all, an entire month on Talkspace costs about the same as a single in-person session. The Talkspace network is composed of thousands of licensed therapists who have experience in over 40 specialties, including, but not limited to, treating depression, anxiety, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food and eating, and much more. The bottom line is, we all need someone to talk to. Talkspace wants to give us the support we deserve at a price we can afford. As a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code COLDCASE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's COLDCASE and Talkspace.com. Leplay contacted everyone he could think of for 3 years to help him regain his Social Security number and to restore his good credit. Finally, after countless frustrating attempts, Leplay took his case to the investigative unit of the Social Security Administration. This is Special Agent Ray Plummery.
I received a call from Dick in January of 1998. He indicated to me that there was a person in Crested Butte, Colorado that was using his Social Security number.
Agent Plummery decided to run a background check on the person who was using Dick Lepley's Social Security number.
I tried to find out as much information as I could on who Murdoch might be. I tried to track down where he might have been born, where he might have lived, and basically establish who he might really be. And essentially, I got nowhere. Everything I tried to track down on the guy came up blank.
Plummery then placed a call to the Crested Butte Police Department on the off chance they knew a man named Murdoch.
And he said, oh yeah, he's lived here for 20 plus years and used to run a bike shop, and he works in the health food store now, and a nice guy, kind of one of the leading citizens of town. And I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't add up.
Plummery decided he needed to go pay Mr. Murdoch a visit. Ted Connor had been the town marshal of Crested Butte for 20 years in 1998.
Neil Murdoch was an interesting person who resided here in town. I didn't personally know him that well, but I think everybody who's lived around here for a while knew who he was.
Connor said that Murdoch was well-liked and active in the community, but no one really knew much about his past.
I would personally look at him and think, I wonder where he came from.
Agent Plummery also wanted to know where Neil Murdoch had come from. So the two investigators paid Murdoch a visit at the health food store where he worked. This is Agent Plummery.
Well, I told him that we had a report that the Social Security number he'd been using belongs to someone else. And he seemed taken aback by that. It's like, well, I don't understand this. I mean, this is my number. I don't know what to tell you. This is very strange. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond to this. It was kind of his attitude.
Plummery then asked Murdoch if he could photograph and fingerprint him to set the record straight.
I couldn't resolve it any other way. If he'd have admitted who he was or something, I probably wouldn't have bothered, but he didn't. And I knew he wasn't who he was saying he was, so I had to have something to try to find that out.
Agent Plumery returned to Denver with Murdoch's photo and prints. 2 days later, he got a phone call from the bookkeeper at the health food store.
I asked her what Social Security number was on his original application for employment, and she pulled it out and looked at it, and it was a different Social Security number.
Agent Plumery ran the new number through NCIC, the National Crime Information Center database.
And up popped a warrant on Richard Bannister.
Richard Bannister, a fugitive who was wanted on international drug smuggling charges 25 years earlier.
I thought, well, now I know what he's doing in Crested Butte, and he's apparently been hiding ever since he was wanted because he's been there for 20 years.
The prints and photos from Neil Murdoch were compared with prints and photos from Richard Bannister's 1973 arrest record.
We matched the thumbprints, and it was the same guy. And then they said they had photographs faxed out, and you could see it was the same guy. He was a lot younger, obviously, but it was the same guy.
Ron Halverson, a U.S. Marshal located in Denver, was assigned to arrest Bannister. This is Deputy Halverson.
I was approached about 1 o'clock in the afternoon saying that there's a sheriff down in Crested Butte, Colorado, who has information on a possible fugitive locate of ours.
The assignment came at a busy time for Halverson, who was on the trail of another fugitive in Denver.
We had already had other investigations lined up and arrests ready to go, so the decision was made not to go down to Crested Butte that night, but go at first thing in the morning, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Halverson began the trek from Denver to Crested Butte, nearly 250 miles before it was even light outside. But he still hadn't made it on time.
And by the time we got to Crested Butte at about 8 o'clock in the morning, he had already departed.
There was frustration on all the agency's parts because it appeared that we'd had an opportunity to possibly apprehend him, and it didn't happen.
Deputies Connor and Halverson tried to question the locals in Crested Butte about Bannister, but received little cooperation. Here's Deputy Halverson.
It was a very guarded community. We actually became stonewalled with a lot of individuals, and we felt like they weren't telling all the truth that they knew. The people in Crested Butte, Colorado, really liked Bannister.
Finally, investigators found a local woman who was willing to speak with them.
She saw Richard Bannister get in the car with a friend of hers at about 7 o'clock in the morning. And she said they looked like they were, they mentioned they were headed to Four Corners, Colorado.
Four Corners is the place where four western states come together at a single point. Here, according to the woman, Bannister had made his exit. This is Four Corners U.S. Marshal Lee White.
Basically, he took off on his bicycle and disappeared either into the sunset or the sunrise. Personally, at the time, I thought it sounded too much like Casablanca.
In the following weeks, the marshals chased Bannister through dozens of leads and suspected sightings. Here's Deputy Halverson again.
We began receiving reports from all over the western states that we had seen this guy on the bike, and the photo had been widely distributed, and we had 65 different sightings that came in. And we sent out local police departments, local sheriff's department to track down each and every lead. None of them turned out to be our guy, Bannister.
For the second time, Richard Bannister evaded investigators and vanished. Support for today's episode comes from Progressive Insurance. Fun fact, Progressive customers qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up for Progressive Auto Insurance. Discounts for things like enrolling in automatic payments, insuring more than one car, going paperless, and of course, being a safe driver. Plus, customers who bundle their auto with home or add renter's insurance save an average of 12% on their auto. There's so many ways to save when you switch. And once you're a customer with Progressive, you get unmatched claim service with 24/7 support online or by phone. It's no wonder why more than 20 million drivers trust Progressive and why they've recently climbed to the third largest auto insurer in the country. Get a quote online at progressive.com in as little as 5 minutes and see how much you could be saving. Auto insurance from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Home and renter's insurance not available in all states, provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations. If you're a business owner, you don't need me to tell you that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/ccf. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/ccf. netsuite.com/ccf. Taos, New Mexico sits at the base of the Crystal Mountains. It's the type of place that attracts skiers, mountain bikers, and artists. It could also attract people with a complicated past. Lisa Alfonso was one of the two U.S. Marshals who covered northern New Mexico. In the fall of 2001, she got a tip about a man named Grafton Mahler. This is Deputy Alfonso.
Basically, what we had here was we had an individual in the Taos area using a name of Grafton Mahler. Grafton Mahler purchased a piece of property in Tres Piedras, New Mexico, using the fugitive Richard Bannister's original Social Security number.
Alfonso reached out to the investigator assigned to the case, U.S. Marshal Lee White.
She said, I have a source that says he's living in Taos, New Mexico, under the name of Grafton Mahler. I said, listen, guy's been a fugitive for 27 years. I will start towards Taos, but do not wait for me to get there. If you see him, put handcuffs on him. Let's bring him in.
With Bannister's photo in hand, Alfonso asked around Taos about Mahler. This is Deputy Alfonso again.
Came across a woman, a merchant there, and asked her if she knew a gentleman by the name of Grafton Mahler. And she said, oh, sure, I know Grafton really well. And so I asked if she would review a photo. And so I showed her the photo, and she said, oh yeah, that's Grafton. And he has very distinct eyebrows. And so I knew that if his eyebrows remained the same, there was no doubt in my mind that I'd be able to positively identify him.
Like Neil Murdoch in Crested Butte, Grafton Mahler had many friends in Taos. Those friends directed Deputy Alfonso to the thrift store where Mahler worked.
Walked into the store and Grafton Mahler, a.k.a. Richard Bannister, Neil Murdoch, is walking towards me. And I said, Mr. Mahler. And he just stared at my badge. And he blinked quite a bit, I remember that, but he didn't move. He froze. He was shocked.
After 27 years on the run, Richard Bannister had been found and arrested.
When I got him to the jail, I told him, you know, we could spend the next 30 minutes here taking your fingerprints, and then I'd have to run them through the FBI database to get confirmation that you are Richard Gordon Bannister, or you can just sit here and tell me that you are. And he said, I am Richard Gordon Bannister.
Richard Bannister pled guilty to trafficking cocaine and jumping bail, and a judge sentenced him to 9 years in prison. For many who knew Bannister, though not by that name, the sentence seemed severe. Dick Lepley, though, the man whose Social Security number Bannister stole and whose credit Bannister ruined, had no problem with the sentence.
Well, let me see. I'm an honest guy, employ 50 people, have paid my bills, have contributed to this community for 35 years now, spent 5 years cleaning up that mess that he got me in. Nine's not enough. He could sit there for the rest of time for all I care.
For the U.S. Marshals who chased Bannister through three states and for more than 20 years, the lesson seemed clear. Where the feds are concerned, men like Richard Bannister can run, sometimes for decades, but they can't hide.
I always expect to end the day with an arrest. When I leave to work a warrant, I leave with a positive attitude that I'm going to come back with the body.
I can send you copies of the reports I've done.
We're relentless, and eventually we're going to catch them. Every fugitive is catchable, and we're going to catch them, unless time catches up to them first.
Cold Case Files, the podcast, is hosted by Brooke Giddings, produced by McKamey Lynn and Steve Delamater. Our associate producer is Julie Magruder. Our executive producer is Ted Butler. Our music was created by Blake Maples. This podcast is distributed by Podcast One. The Cold Case Files TV series was produced by Curtis Productions and is hosted by Bill Curtis. You can find me at Brooke Giddings on Twitter and at Brooke the Podcaster on Instagram. I'm also active in the Facebook group Podcast for Justice. Check out more Cold Case Files at aetv.com or learn more about cases like this one by visiting the A&E Real Crime blog at aetv.com/realcrime.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah. Free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.